Today, because we'll be hearing from our CAECO kids, the CAECO team. Let's start with a few announcements. First of all, thank you for your prayers for me as I traveled and went back to my friend Flo Szymanski's, our friend Flo Szymanski's funeral, and for Debbie as she stayed put. Thankfully, it's a long drive. I didn't realize, David, how far, but it was like 12 hours if you just did it straight. And I didn't do it straight going. I did coming back, and I surprised myself. But thankful that there were no incidents and for safety and for time with friends there. So thank you for that. We have a new creation moments on the back table, educated slugs. So it's funny, when I read that again to myself this morning, I thought, you know, people have flea circuses and one of the slug circus to do something. But it's amazing how similar the brain of a slug is to the human brain. There's some parallels there, which direct us to not common origin in the sense of evolution, but common creator. And interesting perspective that way. Oh, the financial reports for the second quarter on the back. If you didn't get one of those and care to see that, please do. Sandy's not here. She's a little under the weather, but not badly enough that they can't go to their grandson Zachary's baptism this afternoon. Glad that that's in the works for them. Any other announcements we need to be aware of? Thank you for not only your prayers for me, but for praying for our fellowship for such a time as this. We meet for prayer Sunday morning. Can come, by all means do. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be singing as we begin this morning, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, then sometimes referred to as the National Anthem of Christendom. And Peter has some good words for us. I said chapter 2, but if your Bible is like mine, you can also see the end of chapter 1. Let's start with verse 22 of chapter 1. Peter writes, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit to sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Verse 23, "Having been born again, not from corruptible seed or perishable seed, but through incorruptible, through imperishable, supernatural birth, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass." Now he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah now. "All flesh is like grass," it's as grass, "and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And there's a consequence. If this is all true, and it is, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking or slander, like newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Indeed, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's take our hymn book and turn to number 97. Hymn number 97, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll stand together and sing these verses. please be seated where you are. Let's turn our hearts away to the Lord in prayer. Father, we would join our hearts together this Lord's Day to worship you, to not only sing this wonderful hymn of accolade to you, to your Son, to call to mind all that you are, all that you have done for us through Christ our Lord. We thank you that on this Sunday it's different for us as we hear this report from our friends that were working there in Alaska, and we reckon, Father, that even as the last verse of this hymn reminds us, that we will join with people from every tribe and nation and kindred and throng together around your throne. And there will be native Alaskans that are there because they have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, because by faith they trusted Christ alone for their salvation. And they were brought into your family, forgiven descendants of Adam who are now in Christ. And we thank you for the huge privilege that we who are born again have to not only pray for those ministries and those who are yet outside of you, to give financially to them and to be involved, even as these four have been this past summer. So as we continue today, Father, would you be pleased to reaffirm the truth that we know and open our eyes all the further to the great plan that you have, that you've let us be a part of on this side of eternity. May you be honored in what we do, and may we be helped. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number 404, one more hymn this morning. 404, Mr. Moats, good hymn, The Solid Rock. Let's stand together and sing all four of these verses. Amen. Thank you for your singing. Please be seated. Thank you, folks, for playing for us this morning. It's always good to have folk from our fellowship be involved in ministry that's even outside the church. Inside the church, too, but outside. I thought of that again last week as John and Beth, well, John especially, was sharing there. Was this your fourth year, John, being involved with the Johnny Camp? Third year. Getting that report. And glad for what you shared. I would have enjoyed more, actually, from that. But it was nice to visually connect to that to pray for them and their safety and their ministry there. But also, I'm thankful for the Compton family and your introduction to us about this ministry in Central Alaska, sort of central. Curtis, you'll orient us against that way. But Keiko, and while it was introducing me, it's interesting, the Peters family, through Tanya, had gone up there a few years before and with her church in North Carolina at the time and been involved then. But thankful to learn about that ministry and to be a little more clued in to what life is like for those Native Alaskan tribal peoples and the effort to expose them to the gospel, which is the only message that will bring someone from Adam into Christ. And then to pray for each year, the ones that were there, but this year these four. So Curtis, thank you and each of you for not only going, but for being willing to share with us today. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. So let me pack up my stuff and give you this podium to speak from.
So it's funny, when I got back, I've been back for 2 weeks now, a little over 2 weeks, coming back and meeting acquaintances and stuff, and they're like, oh, how is your vacation? You ready to get back to work? The first reaction is kind of offense of like, this is my vacation here. Going up there is the real work. But, they could never understand because we've never done things like this. It would take hours and hours of explanation to explain to them. But I'm glad to be here with you guys who kind of understand, even though you haven't been there yourselves, you've been following along for, this is number four now for me, and then now number one for Tommy, Alyssa, and Mitchell. So the format's going to look a little bit different. So we're going to do, instead of me just rambling on, I want you guys to hear their experiences too, because I've been doing it for a while. But each week we'll kind of explain, someone will take a turn kind of explaining it for you, but we'll all explain what we did each week, so you'll get to hear that. So I'm going to start with just a little bit of an introduction. I don't think there's any like new people here who haven't really heard about Keiko before, but just to kind of reorient you, and that's our schedule that we'll be following for the day. That is where Keiko is. I'm not sure if you can see the little green dot. So it's kind of, it's southwestern Alaska, so that green bit, that's the Yukon River and the Kuskokwim River that kind of form this delta, the YK Delta, and that's, of course, the area that Keiko serves. So Tommy is going to start with our journey up to Keiko.
Yeah, so this is the four of us. This was taken actually outside the pastor's house on our briefing right before we left. And that was really good. We, you know, preparation is a whole nother. We could go on for a long time just about preparing for Keiko. This was the flight there. So this is the Seattle airport. We had an 8-hour layover in the Seattle airport.
I think it was
10-hour layover. We got there at like 8 or 9 at night, and then the flight left like 5 a.m. the next morning. And so the Seattle airport is really bad for sleeping in, because as you can see, all the chairs have like metal armrests, and so you can't sleep across the chairs. So that's actually Madeline Stark curled up on the floor there and trying to get some sleep. We actually did fall asleep. We kind of made a tent in between the rows. We put some blankets, then slept underneath the chairs. But then the cleaning person came in and started vacuuming right around us at like 1 in the morning. So we didn't get much sleep on the journey up there, but we made it. This is Anchorage when we arrived. So this is like the first thing when you walk out of the terminal, there's a giant window, and that's like the first thing you see. So that's a really good introduction to Alaska. There's the famous moose picture that you've all been waiting for. That's all four Comptons and then Madeline. Madeline traveled with us all the way from Nashville. There's me shaking the hand of someone. I guess it's the governor of Alaska. I didn't know that.
Some important person, I guess.
So this was, we are waiting for the Frenaris, was their family name. There was four of them as well. And Curtis has known them from previous years. We had talked to them over video calls and stuff. But so we quickly made a sign that says Frenaris and held it up and waited for them coming out of their terminal.
We got a few weird looks from
Yeah, we got some weird looks from people. So we went out of the airport a little bit, Anchorage, and just did some activities because we had such a long layover there. So that was kind of nice to see some of Anchorage. And then we left Anchorage and flew into Bethel. This is what Bethel looks like. It's like the biggest, it's the big city of the area for around Keiko. But that's what it looks like from the air. And then when we arrived there, we had to split because Keiko, they also had a family camp going on at the time. And so they didn't have room for all of us to go into Keiko because it was filled with families, native families that were doing a different camp up there. And so we split, and the girls, Alyssa, Madeline, Annalise, Mary Alice, which are the two Frenari girls, they left for Keiko almost as soon as we got into Bethel. And then the rest of us, the guys, we stayed and went to Napakiak to do our potato farming for the village there. So that is the potato farmers, we called ourselves. That's what Bethel looks like. All the houses are built up on stilts because of the permafrost. And that's actually like the really nice part of town, of Bethel. That's what it looks like. There's us. So Job Hale, one of the Buckingham's adopted sons, he's a missionary now in Napakiak, and he does this thing every year where he plants. Native families can come and plant their own potatoes and then, you know, raise a little garden for themselves. So each family gets like a little row. So there's a bunch of the kids came over. The native kids were planting potatoes for their little family rows.
And some of those were campers that we would see later on. So
yeah. This is the Bethel AC store. So they do have a little grocery store in Bethel. And that's the prices are just ridiculous. That's like a quart of ice cream for $10. A bag of chips was like $10. A little like bottle of like, you know, cranberry juice that you can get, that's like $13 at the AC store. So it's ridiculous prices. And then this was, so we spent two nights with Job Hale in Bethel. And then we left on the third day after that to go into Keiko.
Well, most of you left.
Most of us left. Curtis, he stayed behind an extra couple hours because they needed someone. Where you land on the Alaska terminal is you have to drive kind of all the way around, or walk if you're adventurous, but you have to drive all the way around to get to where the hangar is for the Keiko plane. And so Curtis, they needed someone to stay and ferry people who were getting in on the Alaska Airlines and drive them to the Keiko hangar so they could fly actually to Keiko. So he was doing that for a while. And then that's the first, was that taken on the first day?
Yeah, that's right. When I
remember. Yeah, so that's when we finally were all inside Keiko. And then that was during the training week, actually. We all hiked up the mountain, and we brought the Tennessee flag along just to represent where we came from. Yeah, so training week we did, especially for us who hadn't been there before, we did just a lot of different. They did all the activities with us, like rappelling and things, just showing us all how to do it. And then also just a lot of Bible studies and prayer and things just to get us ready for camp. And we actually got to, it was really nice, actually, before camp started, we sent out some people to different villages because we were a little short on sign-ups the first week, maybe because of COVID or just other things. They didn't know if we were going to open or not. And so Curtis and me got to go to Marshall on the weekend before camp started. Camille, if you want to pass out.
Oh, yeah, we should probably start passing.
This.
Why don't you just do that?
Okay, yeah. These were the flyers that we handed out to all the kids we could and families. And Marshall is a very good example of what villages up there. It's not definitely not a nice place to live. There were two missionaries out there, actually, from Samaritan's Purse, who are currently staying in Marshall. And they were the ones who taxied us. The airport, the airstrip is like five miles. Is it?
It's like a mile, but it's...
Oh, okay. It's like a mile and a half or something from where the village is. So you land, and you either have to walk into the village, or these missionaries were nice enough to take us in on four-wheelers. It's just a video of what the terrain looks like by Marshall.
Is there sound? Maybe it's muted.
Yeah, it's just a gravel road going from the airstrip to Marshall. No, from the Marshall airstrip, yes. They had to, because I think they were saying that a plane crashed or something on the original airstrip because it wasn't a good airstrip. And so they built another one that was like a mile from the village that you have to walk in. And so we called ourselves the Comtari clan because it was the Comptons and the Frenaries. And that was like the two big families. And then also the other Tommy on the far left. Tommy Haverstraw, he didn't come with anyone, so we just adopted him as a Comtari. But that was our main group for a while.
But the Fornaris, they went to our church, Warner, I think, not when we were there, but in California. They still live in California. And they had the same number of siblings as we do, and they've adopted a lot from China as well. So a lot of similarities between our families.
So this was graduation after training. They did a little ceremony and kind of knighted us with a Bible verse and gave us all our Keiko staff hats.
Is this Mitchell? Yeah.
So Mitchell's going to come up and talk a little bit about week one.
We're gonna say,
you can do yours first. Yeah.
Okay. So I was counseling this week. As you can see up there, it's Brandon, me, Elisha, and Josiah. And all of us were new to counseling. So... that was kind of surprising when we all got called up. And so do you guys want to say what you're doing?
Tommy, you can
guess. Yeah, so I was staffing for the first week. When I first started, it was called janitorial. They changed it later to like maintenance week. But basically cleaning bathrooms, you know, just a lot of cleanup and things like that. That's what I was doing week one.
And then I was the assistant to... the camp director, so Jim Buckingham, I was kind of just his liaison, kind of running around. Not really any specific jobs to do other than if he needed something, but I would kind of go around to the activities and make sure everything was running smoothly, jumping in if someone needed to leave or do anything, it was interesting being staff because I've only staffed one time before that. I've been counselor all the other times, so it's kind of interesting to get to see that side of Keiko. As opposed to the counseling, and then seeing another Compton, Mitchell, take the mantle for the Comptons that week.
And I was co-counseling and on this line. So co-counseling, I would take over for my co-counselor sometimes when she needed a break, or I would just be by her side and just help out. So those were my duties, the co-counseling and activities for the line.
Yeah, so for the co-counseling, they've played around with that over previous years. My first year in 2017, I was a co-counselor, but we slept inside the cabins with the counselors, and we did like all the activities with the counselors. In 2018, 2019, they didn't have any co-counselors, and then this year they kind of sort of brought it back, so they would have co-counselors, but they would be running activities, so they wouldn't necessarily be with the cabin all the time, but they would provide an hour and a half or so of counselor relief in the afternoon. So they would take over the cabin, the counselors could go shower and do whatever, and then they'd also do like a little 15, 20 minute break at evening so you could go brush your teeth. So it's kind of like a hybrid between the two not having one and, you know, them sleeping in the cabins. Teen Week was an exception to that, but that was most of the times that's what the co-counselors were doing.
So this is the schedule. It's pretty much the same for every day. So 7:30, power turned on, and cabin leaders would go and have a like meeting with Mr. Buckingham at 8:15, and then that was actually really nice. He gave a lot of encouraging verses, and it was just really nice to have that meeting before all the campers woke up. And then at 8:45, we went and woke up our cabin. And then 9 o'clock was breakfast, 9:30 cabin cleanup and prep for the day. 10 o'clock was Bible. 11:15, we would break or move to activity one. There was a separate list for all the activities.
That's not on here.
Yeah, but we don't have that on here. And then 11:30 to 12:30, you had two different activities. And then lunch, then two other activities. And then cabin leader handoff, like what Alyssa was saying, is the counselor would go and like take a shower or a break for like an hour while the co-counselor would take over and just like play outside or do random activities. And then Bible time 3 at 8:15, rocket or games at 9:30, and then everyone starts getting ready at 11, and then everyone in cabins at 11:15. And that was pretty much every day. It changed up a little bit. That is the welcome committee for the first week. So they would, like, as soon as the planes land, they were the ones to go greet them and help escort them up to the lodge to get registered. Those are the four guy campers. So on the far left is, the four guy counselors. On the far left is Elisha. Then next to him on the right is Brandon. Then me. And then right to the right of me is Josiah. This is a really fun game. There's a bunch of different games you can do with those pipes. This one right here is you can't let go of the pipe, but you have to try and cross like over or under each other's pipes. It's really fun. That is the zip line. That's Kai. He was my co-counselor for the first week. And he was also on zip line. This is my cabin. So it's on the far right is Leo. Next to him on the left is Logan. Then in the blue jacket is Connor. And then the far left is Sunny. And then the one in the Keiko hat on the left is Kai, my co-counselor.
And Leo was, I don't know if you remember me talking about Nicholas, one of my more interesting campers from previous years. This is his younger brother, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So Mitchell had an interesting time with Mr. Leo there over the course of the week.
This is Bible time. That's Levi, one of the Frenaris, doing archery with one of the girl captains. This is riflery. So that's like a little range they have set up right behind that wooden structure. Tommy H is on the left, and Elisha is on the right of his cabin.
Are they real rifles?
Yeah, they were actually 22s this year. They've been doing pellet guns for the last couple of years, so it's exciting to do that. That's another picture of the riflery range. This is after we would hike the mountain. We would come back and have hot dogs and s'mores. It was really fun. And then after that, we would come down. This is where we'd have the s'mores, is we'd go down the runway on these trucks and then set up a bonfire. This one didn't turn out too well because it had just been raining, so all the wood was really wet. He dumped like a whole gallon of avgas on it, and it still didn't do anything. So, and then that's the plane, the 206, the classic Keiko plane. There's the pavilion, the big building. That's where we, that's like where Snack Shack is, and we do some activities in there.
So this was one of the only weekends that we got
it was kind of more difficult this year overall because of two reasons. One, the weather was, this was one of the very few sunny days that we had. It was raining, just a complete deluge. They've never seen rain like that, like ever. So at least Jonathan Penn, the camp owner, he said that is the wettest year that he's ever seen. And this was also one of the only times that we got like a full weekend because of the weather and plane issues. A lot of times we'd have campers still on Saturday that we would have to be flying out. So a lot of times there would be just Sunday to rest and get things done, and then it would be right on to the next week.
There was one week that we, I think it was Saturday, Mr. Buckingham had to go to Russian Mission because we had a whole shipment of food, and that took a whole day because we were just going back and forth and bringing in shipments, so that took one of our weekends off.
So for week two, actually we can probably go to this slide. So I was counselor, and then Alyssa.
So I was a counselor. Tommy was a counselor, Levi was a counselor, all of those people on that picture were counselors. So it was great counseling with all of my brothers and then all the others. So that was upstairs in the lodge where they bring the kids up, get them all registered, and then they get to meet their counselor. So that's our picture of before we had campers.
Still got smiles on
it was interesting at this point. It was the only Compton counselors were me, Trevor, and Mitchell because Tommy and Alyssa had never counseled. So this was Tommy and Alyssa's first time counseling.
Yep.
And then Mitchell, what did you
I was best assistant to the camper.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he had the same job that I had had previously. So it was us three counseling. Tommy, do you want to talk a little bit about your cabin?
Yeah, that was my first week counseling. It was pretty good. It was probably my most difficult cabin. They were all super energetic. Even though it was junior high, they were all really young. I had the youngest cabin out of the junior high week. There's one of them, Jalen. I'd chase him around camp all day pretty much. But we had a lot of fun.
And for me, this was a very good week and a very hard week too, though, because I had some campers from previous years, especially Hank from Bethel. He was kind of a harder camper, but he was one of the only ones that I'd really kind of texted with and talked with over, not often, but, you know, kind of kept in contact since 2019. So that was really good, and we made use of the Bibles that were sent up this week. We got them, I think, over the weekend the previous week. So Hank got a Bible, and he was very appreciative. He thinks of himself as a Christian. I think his works more show that maybe he's not, but he definitely, I mean, it was a hard week emotionally for both of us, but he was very attentive, and he got very close. So if you can be praying for him, that was definitely one of my campers who showed a lot of interest spiritually, so he was very happy to get the Bible. He almost lost it on the last day, but then we found it for him again and got him a new one. So thank you for those Bibles. They are definitely appreciated and used by the campers. So.
All right, and then the second day, which was Tuesday, we would go on our first activities. We would go on our activities. I think there's four activities for each day. There's activities for each day. So that was the first activity one of the cabins had, which was riflery.
This is my cabin, but you can't see the
And reasons. So that guy in the red shirt, he was actually a pilot, he was flying in kids for the first and second and third week, and then he left. His name was Mr. Matt, and he was really great. And then there's Malachi Fenari. He was helping Mr. Matt. And there's zipline. That's another activity we did. They would get every kid harnessed up before they would send them down, which was a whole adventure. Harnessing kids up was a lot of work because there would be kids trying to get their own harnessed up. And we're like, whoa, we got to make sure it's completely right because we've got to send you down and it has to be all safe. So that was pretty fun. So I think there's a cabin right there, and then there's some staff members that are working the zip line in that picture. And there's my cabin. I think that week I had four girls. I think that was the best week I had. They were so great. I was basically babysitting my cabin. It was because they were very self-sufficient, very obedient, just great. And then another girl, she had a more difficult cabin, a very difficult cabin. And so I was able to hop back and forth and help her out with her cabin. So that was line up right before mealtime.
When you guys say difficult, you've heard it quite a bit. Like, what does that mean?
It could mean a variety of things. So it could either be just energetic and hard to keep track of, wandering off and, you know, that sort of thing. And generally, that's the younger elementary age. They're kind of, you know, they're not hard emotionally necessarily, but they're hard physically because you have to keep up with them. And they have a lot of energy. So that's one way. Junior high and teen.
For Nani, she had two girls that were very boy crazy. So we try to keep them, the guys on their side and then the girls, just kind of keep them separated because there could be stuff that happens. So it was, for Nani's situation, it was more difficulty with keeping the guys and girls separated. And sometimes difficult can be, like sometimes they bring tobacco into camp, which is very difficult. And like they bring so many different things into camp. And so they could be hiding that and then not telling you. And then so you just have to really, you know, have patience and, you know, work with them the best you can. So it's a lot of different varieties of difficult.
And also, of course, there's the spiritual side. Some of them are, you know, they have the shamanistic sort of religion. So there's some that are training to become shamans. Some of them, there's like the dark shamans and the good shamans. So they're like, oh, I'm training to become a good one. So there's a lot of spiritual stuff that comes out a lot of times at night in the cabins when you have your devotionals, and a lot of times there's, you know, palpable spiritual resistance that you can feel from the campers and just in general. So, and that comes out, that's not so much more evident in the little guys because they're still young, but in the junior high like this week and then in teen week too, that can come out a lot. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways. This junior high is kind of the combination of both of those, which is why it can be difficult, because the teen campers, they may be harder, you know, emotionally and spiritually, but physically they like to nap and they like to just kind of lay around, which is nice for us. So there's not as much chasing them around. The little guy's not as hard physically, or not as hard emotionally or spiritually, but definitely harder physically because they've got a lot of energy.
Curtis, when you talk about the shaman and kids, some of the kids training, what percentage of the kids are in that direction?
There were a few. I did not have any. I think, what was his name? There was one guy the last week that I'm pretty sure he was kind of into that. And then there was, I think, Vicky Howe, who was actually, it was cool. There were two people who came up this year, Jamie and Vicky, who were from way back. So they were, when Kyle was counseling, they came back. So that was nice. She had a few girls who were like, what was she saying, something about summoning demons or something.
Oh,
at night.
Yeah, she was like talking.
So there was, yeah, so it was, she had an interesting night with that, so I assume there was some animistic, shamanistic stuff going on there. I never had any that I could pinpoint that way, but yeah, there were definitely a few this time around. But there's also, I mean, the primary religion kind of is, you know, their native culture, but also fused into the Russian Orthodox or Catholic or Moravian. So there's kind of a mixture of Christian, sort of, but then it's also infused with that, you know, native kind of religion stuff. So it can get complicated because they're like, oh, does Russian Orthodox count as Christian? And it's like, it makes for some very interesting discussions at night. So that's the group. picture up at the mountain.
And so for the last day, this is Airsoft, so which is Thursday, right? Yeah. So Thursday, there'd be only two activities. There'd be rappelling and then Airsoft. So the guys would be at the rappelling, and the girls would be at Airsoft, or vice versa. So for this day, or for this time, it was the guys at Airsoft and the girls at rappelling. And so that was a great activity. Rappelling was so much fun because the kids would get to the edge of the rappelling tower and get all scared, and you have to encourage them to come down, and then they would go down, and then they would go back up right after, and it was so much fun. It was such a jolly time. That's more Airsoft. And then Friday, which was flying kids out. This is a group of kids that were leaving. So there's, I guess that's the whole day of just flying kids out, because it usually takes a whole day to get every kid out. That's a picture of one of my girls. Her name is Janessa. And that's Carissa.
Are any of these the ones that are calling? She gets phone calls.
This one.
So Janessa, there's actually a really good story about her. That was my first week of counseling. And she was a really tough camper at the beginning. And I thought I was trying to play around and figure out what she was trying to, what was just going on with her. And it turned out that she got a phone call one afternoon that her uncle hung himself. And she was really just in shock. So she was okay, but she was just going, she was playing and everything, but she was really just numb to it all. And there would be times of days when she would just break down and cry. I know there was like one day, I think it was the last day, that she spent like 2 hours with me and my co-counselor, Mrs. Buckingham. We were just sitting in one of the downstairs lodge areas. She was just crying. And it was really hard because you see a lot of that. At camp, there'd be kids just saying, oh yeah, my uncle just committed suicide, or my mom just committed suicide. It's just such a real thing that goes on there. So that's one of Chris's campers.
That's Ethan. So it's cool this time, especially after going back for a few years, to see repeat campers. So this was one of the guys that I'd had in 2019, and he was in my cabin again this year. So that's fun.
And then this is the first departure of one of the staff members that left the Martins. I think that was Brandon that left. So we would go down to the runway and go give him a big farewell, and it was great.
One of the rare sunny days. You could probably count on, you know, all your fingers and toes how many days there were of sun versus rainy days or overcast. So that was very nice. Is it week three? Yes, okay. I'm going to do week three. But so for this week, oh, yeah, you can't, that's fine. So for this week, I was counseling again.
Who else was counseling? Mitchell.
Oh, this was that week. Yeah, okay. Do you want me to explain it?
Sure.
Do you like to explain? Okay, so it was supposed to be me counseling Joshua Buckingham, who's the camp director's son, and then Tommy and the other Tommy. And this was junior high, so this whole staff of this year was pretty young and pretty inexperienced in general. There were a lot of new people and a lot of young new people, especially for the guys. So for junior high, because it's older, they wanted, you know, the more experienced people to handle that. As opposed to putting in the younger guys. The younger people, they would try and put on elementary week. So this was the second junior high week. So again, I was supposed to counsel, but then the day before, both Tommies, actually the day before, the other Tommy got sick. So he was pulled out, and the day of, as Tommy was getting...
I had gone all the way to dinner.
Yes.
So I did dinner with
my campers.
So
he had a few campers. And then he got the same sickness, so feverish, just really sick. So their co-counselors, which were Mitchell and Kai, who were the two, how,
15?
He was 15 at the time.
Okay, yeah, so the two of the youngest guys were put to the front lines of junior high, so they were counseling kids not very much younger than themselves. So yeah, this was a very interesting week because we had them two down, which affects things, you know, it affects activities if they're sick, but of course it also affects the counseling because their counselors had to step in. So I did it and Joshua did it, but then Mitchell and Kai ended up being the two other counselors for that week. So this is a skit. So during the Bible times, there's the two Bible times. There's a lot of, especially for the younger guys, they'll try and make it fun and, you know, interesting. There is talking too, of course, and Bible scripture reading and everything. But this was, oh yes, this is the sin skit. So we were talking about the, you know, what sin can do when it grabs a hold of you, as I think that's Tommy dragging Levi off stage is one of the sins. And then Alyssa was an angel who forgave the person, Levi, of these sins. So that was one of their favorites. I think we did that probably every week with the campers. Some of them are repeats. So that one was a repeat that we knew worked in 2019. So that was a popular hit. Sometimes we'll come up with them. Sometimes, a lot of times, the camp director would come up with them. And then we practice it. And then sometimes they work, sometimes they flop. But, you know, it was all fun. I love doing it.
They have one where you did the Zacchaeus.
Yes, we...
Where they had someone on mm-hmm. their shoulder.
Yeah, Tommy was the tree, and somebody was Zacchaeus and climbed up on his shoulder. I think we have, in this presentation at the end, the last week, we have, I did a David and Goliath skit. Because so there's skits throughout the week during the Bible times, and then on Thursday evening is kind of, you know, the big last Bible time. We have a slideshow. And then each cabin has to do a skit with their, you know, co-counselor and then with the kids. And that can be difficult because a lot of them are shy. So you have to really be out there, even if you don't like public speaking or anything, which I normally am not inclined to that. But it can be a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun to do with the kids. So we have that on the last week. So this week, that is my first cabin, the first orientation of that cabin. We did a little bit of switching around, and sometimes you can see that, like on the first day, that there's two campers that are, you know, they're going to be trouble. So that was those first two right there. I could see the first hour or so that they were not going to go well. They were going to go well, very well together, not so much to do good things necessarily. So I switched. There was another camper in Mitchell's cabin who really wanted to be in my cabin, and Wade, that is his name, the second to the left, his little brother also happened to be in Mitchell's cabin, so it was a convenient switch. We switched on Monday night, so I got Tristan, and Mitchell got Wade. And it was probably a good thing, because Tristan turned out to be quite a handful of himself, so, and Wade did really well when he went to Mitchell's cabin, so that was good. This is the canoe pond. I don't know if I took that picture or who's in that. I don't know who that is. But they did, I don't know if you remember from previous years, it normally is brown and muddy and looks kind of gross. But this year, Mr. Buckingham put some green food coloring and stuff, or pond coloring or something that's, apparently it's safe for, you know, there are tons of tadpoles and everything, and, you know, the ecosystem was not harmed, but it looked a whole lot nicer than just the brown mud that it had been in previous years. So that was a fun project to do. I'm not sure if I have a group picture of my cabin, so I can just explain from this. That's Nathan and Seth Kazebnikov. Nathan is in the blue sweater there. That's Tristan on the right in the white sweater. But Nathan and Seth are from Russian Mission, so that's just a five-minute flight down the road or down the river, as it were. But their family, Trevor and I have kind of counseled a lot. So Trevor counseled their older brothers, so it was kind of fun to get to counsel them again. I had counseled Seth in 2019, so he was a repeat. And then Nathan, I think both of them had been in Trevor's cabin,
at one point. So that was really good to get to see them again. Some more view from the mountain. Overall, it was, I think most people had a fairly easy time of it this week other than me and Anani. One of the girl counselors had a very hard week this week.
Josh.
Yeah, he had kind of a hard, well, Cameron was a little bit hard, but the girl camper who had actually had, was it the previous week, she had had a really hard cabin, continued that streak of having a very difficult cabin. There was a lot of the Bethel kids this week. So James, who was one of mine, we found like a e-cigarette or a vape or something that he had in there and some other suspicious-looking items so that we confiscated. There's a lot of fighting and then getting together too well and being mischievous, especially from Anani's cabin. So, but other than that, it wasn't too bad. I think Mitchell and Kai, thankfully, had an easier time of it, which was good because they were not expected or supposed to counsel that old campers, but they did really well. So Mitchell actually got to, you got to counsel another junior high, didn't you? Yeah, so you got promoted to junior high counselor. Again, it would kind of, sometimes it would be sunny in the morning and then just, you know, the clouds would roll over and it'd start raining. And the river was up, the mud was just awful. We ruined most of our shoes from that, ruined lots of pants and socks and things, but yeah, definitely the wettest year that I can recall, and Jonathan Pence can recall too. This was fun. So you're supposed to clean your cabin before lunchtime or before Bible time, and then you get ranked on how clean your cabin is, and then you go to Snack Shack, and you're first in line if you had the cleanest cabin. But on the last day, normally they try and do something fun. So it's the messiest cabin. After this week, they changed it to most creative cabin because there were some very, very messy cabins this week, lots of mud, lots of interesting things in the cabin. So this is probably the cleanest cabin that you'll see, which we got a canoe from the canoe pond and put it in there. I don't think we won for messiest cabin, but after that they changed it to most creative, which was a little bit better, but that was a lot of fun. That's more airsoft. So on Thursdays, like Alyssa said, it's a little bit of a different day, where you have the airsoft and the rappelling, and then in the evenings we have the longer Bible time with the skits and the activities and things. I guess there isn't a thing yet. The final dinner, of course, is the fun. No normal utensils. You get egg beaters and all sorts of weird things to eat with the spaghetti, which is fun. That is for riflery and archery. They have a competition, so they score based on cabin, and then they have individual scores. So these are the three winners for riflery, I think. That was for archery. Riflery. So this is the archery scores. Elia in the middle, he was another one of those. He was not in my cabin. I think he was in Kai's cabin. But he's been coming for a while. And he remembered the good old days when Trevor was there, and he was all, oh, where's Trevor? I wish he was here. So, he was fun. That was Nathan Kozebnikov. I mentioned him earlier. Was that from... I wasn't sure if this was from that week. Oh, okay, yeah. And then that's a video. So when staff leave... Actually, when campers leave too, we always do Peace Like a River, which is kind of a kid's song, with the hand motions. So I think if you just click on the video... We had some staff, actually there were quite a few staff members who only come in for a few weeks at a time. These two, Emily and Hope, came in for only 1 week, so they helped that one week. So this is that. It's kind of a tradition at this point to do when the staff leave. And when campers leave, they'll take videos of us all jumping around and stuff. So.
Okay, so do you guys want to tell me?
Yes. So I was the janitor this week, or maintenance, as they called it. So me and Joshua, who had been counseling the week before, we were on break because this was elementary week, so they wanted to put some of the newer kids in there to counsel. You weren't counseling.
I was staff.
You were a co-counselor.
Oh, I was archer.
Yeah.
I was doing archer. I was a co-counselor for Kai and running that trampoline, one of the activities.
And I wasn't counseling that week. I was co-counseling for Grace Bauer. And I don't remember what my activity was. I was on zipline again. So, zipline was fun the first week, but then it kind of got a little tiring after the second week, doing the same old things for 4 hours each day. So it kind of got a little tiresome, but it was okay. This was this is the first week in, I guess, Keiko Kid history that we had Tuesday to Saturday camp? Because it was weather. We weren't able to get kids out right on Friday. So we had to fly kids out on Monday, which kind of backed up the next camp, the next week of camp.
I'm pretty sure we had one plane.
Oh, yeah, and we had one plane. We were having maintenance, or plane.
It was a combination of.
Plane problem. It was just a lot of stuff that week. So that was Tuesday to Saturday camp. And then one of the things that we did were we brought everybody down to the pavilion and we would have dinner down there, and then we would sing hymns, and some people would tell their testimonies, I guess, and it was just a little bit of time for fellowship, and that was great. More pictures of that. That was one of Josiah was counseling that week. That's one of his kids, Hendrix, he's on the rappelling tower right now, so they're about to go down the rappelling tower, so he was going down with him. That's in Bible time. You can see on the far left, Tommy is photobombing that picture. I think this is spaghetti night.
Yes, that's true.
So as you can see, there's kids with weird utensils. And then Wednesday, we would hike up the mountain. But most of us, everybody in this picture, decided to hike up the mountain barefoot. So that was really fun. It was an adventure. Another Bible time, I guess, for singing. What was that? I don't even remember. Oh, that's slideshow. So after the skits, which was on Thursday, we would do spaghetti night. Then we would come upstairs to the top of the lodge, do Bible. After Bible, we would do skits. And then after the skits, we would do a slideshow of the week. So all the pictures that we've taken, we would just put it all in a slideshow and then play it on the TV. That's when it started getting... was that the darkest night?
No.
We could tell as we passed, the longest day of summer. So then it started... Alaska gets dark really fast. It's kind of funny to see. Interesting, not funny. It's interesting to see how fast it gets dark. So that's it getting dark, and then you can see the lights on in each cabin and the lodge and the wash house.
So this was 4th of July weekend. It was not a full weekend because we still had, right before it was they had to push back camp, like Alyssa said. Instead of Monday through Friday, it was Tuesday through Saturday. But there were still some kids on Monday. So for some counselors, it was Monday through Saturday, just, you know, with your kids the entire time. But 4th of July was on Sunday this year. And so we did have some fun doing that. We all got our hair cut. Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. So Josh Buckingham, the camp director's son, he had brought some hair clipper things that I think were designed for, like, sheep or something. I don't think they were, like, supposed to be for people, but they worked. I mean, I liked it. It turned out pretty good, but that weekend he just, you know, we needed our haircut, and so he just set up a little barber shop in the top of the lodge, and we all got our haircut.
Except Alyssa.
Except Alyssa. Alyssa didn't get a haircut, obviously, but the rest of us did. It took some convincing for some counselors to get their hair cut by Josh, but this was 4th of July night. They made, the food on the weekends was really good. So the food during the week was, they rotated through like 10 or so meals. And they were all pretty good. But the weekend food was really, really nice because they just had the staff, and so it's easier to make better things. So it was 4th of July dessert. 4th of July, we had a lot of fun. You know, we all dressed up in patriotic outfits, you know, and it was a good time. Did some fireworks. It was light, so it wasn't really like we couldn't. You know, we did what we could. This is. We
you
made
could
it.
See a little bit. The video is pretty blurry. But.
And then they also, one of the guys brought in. There's one of. One of the pilots, he flew for just like one day. But he brought in a bunch of fireworks, and he also had like a couple pounds of Tannerite. So he set up some Tannerite and blew it up, you know, so that was a lot of fun.
And firecrackers.
And firecrackers. Yeah, firecrackers was, you know, throwing firecrackers at each other was a lot of fun. But. So this is now week 5, team week. Yeah, so we can go over first who was what. So I was counseling team week. Curtis,
I was also counseling.
The counselor for Teen Week.
I was
Alyssa was also the counselor for Teen Week.
I was co-counseling.
No.
Or no.
You weren't.
I don't think you were co-counseling.
Yeah,
you
were. I was on
you were Zip
line.
Yeah. So, this week was hard for a lot of reasons and also really good for a lot of different reasons. It rained all 5 days of camp. So Monday through Friday, it was basically raining the entire time. And so you'd get, you know, as a counselor, you'd get up in the morning and you'd quite literally wring out your shoes, you know, from yesterday's water, you know, and put on soaking wet socks and shoes, you know, to walk through the mud up to the lodge to drink some coffee and have a counselor meeting. Actually, I think this would be a good time to go over the verse, the memory verse.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We have it memorized because we've said it hundreds of times. But this was the memory verse for all of camp, and it was actually quite interesting because it was really kind of the theme for us four too, going up there. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And so trusting in God was really something we all had to do when you're just drained, you know, both physically and mentally. Actually, we all got, if you said the verse, then you got these bracelets that they handed out to the campers and the staff.
I don't know why.
Okay, I added that picture because that sums up a little bit of how week 5 was, because we were all, you know, super hungry some of the time. There was one point, I think I was on one of my breaks, and I was just so hungry. But in the house, the guy's house, we didn't have propane at the time. We eventually got it changed out. And so, like, the only working piece of equipment I had was a coffee maker. And so I attempted to make mac and cheese in a coffee pot. And it didn't work that well, but I still ate it because I was hungry. But, yeah, that was funny. That was my cabin for Teen Week.
There's a better...
Yeah, so this is a better picture of my cabin for teammate. So that's me at the top. Kai Frenari in the other staff hat. He was my co-counselor. He did an amazing job that week. And down at the bottom in the camo is Eric. And then above him is Tyson. And then the three in the middle, left to right, is William on the left. And Brenton, you can just see his head. And then Luke over on the right. Luke, actually, he was probably what saved me that week. He was an amazing camper. By the end of the week, I just called him like my second co-counselor. I mean, he was great. We're trying to get him actually to come up next year and staff with us, apply to be a staff member. But he was super helpful. I mean, he would, there'd be times in the morning where he'd come up to me and he'd be like, "Hey, Tom, do you want me to line up everybody for lunch?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, sure, go for it." So he was really helpful. This picture also kind of sums up how Team Week went, because this was the mud fight that we had. I think John Erickson thought it would be a good idea. And it was fun, but it was also, an interesting night. You can see Madeline, she had a super hard, she's the one on the left that's getting a face full of mud by Nancy, who was one of her hardest campers. I ruined a pair of sandals there, that's why I'm barefoot. It was a lot of fun during it, but there was so much cleanup that had to be done. There was like an hour line of guys, waiting for, it was like 20 guys waiting for two showers. So people were getting hosed off and stuff. This was like how it was most of team week. It looked like that.
You had just, there would be campers falling everywhere.
Yeah.
That is so slippery.
So it wasn't, there was very few times where actually like, poured rain. It was just like always a constant drizzle, like throughout the entire week. And it was just the mud. I mean, got like this thick. It was bad.
Not everywhere, but yes, it's pretty bad.
So that's us. You can see lining. This isn't my cabin.
Yeah,
that's
this
Curtis's
is my cabin. So
for team week.
This was the one week where the co-counselors kind of were a little bit more involved. We got again more of the kind of cycling through people. A group of six actually came just for teen week from Bethel, and there's a group of four. It was four people from Michigan and then two people from Bethel that came up. So they served as co-counselors and staff, so they wouldn't sleep in the cabin, but they would do all the activities and, still do the relief time in the afternoon too. So they were more attached to the cabin. They weren't on activities. As much. So that's Anthony on the left. I think he had come once when Kyle was still director, so like way back when, and then this was his last time because he's 18, so this was his last trip there. Donovan next, Caleb and Hanson I had in 2019 also, and then Marvin in the right, and then Tyler, it was my co-counselor on the very far right. So.
Is this when it was super windy?
This is all the counts. So this is the guy counts.
Yeah, so this is the guy. Is this the day it was super windy up on the mountain?
Yeah.
Or was that one?
No, that was the previous week.
So yeah, this was the four guy counselors. So that's Levi Frenari, then Josh Buckingham, and then obviously me and Curtis up on the mountain.
Curtis's cabin
in the craft barn. It's funny, the guys actually really like the craft barn. Like, you'd think that they won't be doing archery and stuff, but at least mine. It wasn't for the best of reasons. One guy came and he had made with those little rubber bands that you can make bracelets and stuff out of. One guy, like the first cabin that went into the craft barn for the day, had made like this string that he was like whipping people with. And so then all the other guy cabins were so excited to go to craft lines that they could make these long strings to fight with. But it kept, for previous weeks, my campers didn't really like being in the craft barn, but they were, like, sad to leave because they wanted to make their strings the longest. So it kept them entertained. So this is, again, lining up. That's pretty much how the weather was for most of that week. That was part of my skit, my cabin skit. And I can show some of these videos maybe during potluck or after or something, because I've got the videos of these skits. My cabin really, really loved this skit. We did, it was actually Kai Frenari. He was, Curtis came up with the skit, but then Kai kind of took it over and did it like every week.
It was Shadrach, Meshach,
and Abednego. And the king who would throw them in his fiery barbecue. So that's part of that skit, yeah. And then that night, we all did it was raining too much to go down to the runway to do the bonfire. So we did it just inside the pavilion. It was super overcast. It was really raining that night. Pretty difficult for everybody. And then this was John Erickson, who was the camp director in 2018, but then is now the camp activities director for 2019 and this year. He's fostering a few kids from Russian Mission, and this is one of them, Adele. she got baptized this night. So they baptized her in the pond there.
She got saved during camp and then got baptized.
Yeah. That was really neat to see. All the kids had a lot of questions after that, so it was nice to have a talking point. Yeah, I call this the darkest night of camp because it was, for me, I think it was like one of the darkest nights. But also this, for teen week, I got like 15 hours of sleep in the four nights or five nights I was in the cabin. So I basically was running on no sleep at all. But then this night in particular was really difficult. I think I got like 2 hours of sleep or something this night. And my campers this week were really, really good. Like this week was the first one that proved that like you can have a super difficult week even if you have good campers, you know, because it was just like the rain, you know, not getting any sleep because we'd stay up till 3 a.m, you know, talking about stuff. So that was different. And then by the end, you know, like beginning of the week, you have a few pairs of shoes, so like you're kind of can switching off, getting, you know, like dry shoes. But by the end of the week, you just, like it may not seem that big of a deal, but when you're always walking around in wet socks and wet shoes, you know, for just all day, it definitely got tiring.
And it got really dark.
Yeah, that night it got super dark. This is doing some of the activities inside because we tried to do, even when it was raining, you know, like we did the rappelling tower in the rain a couple times. But when it got like super bad, then they'd bring everybody inside and Mr. Erickson would do a bunch of Awana games, you know, it's just like hit the pin with a beanbag, you know, a bunch of stuff just to keep them entertained when we couldn't go outside.
And this was, again, on Friday.
Yes, this was supposed to be, they were supposed to be leaving. You know, they were supposed to be gone by this time, but they weren't.
That's Donovan. His grandparents came as staff members this week, so they were there. They've been a part of Keiko. They've been coming to Keiko for a long time. And then I think
they brought one of their
granddaughter came. Was it the next week after this?
She came up with them, and then she was a camper.
Yeah, and she was a camper too. So yeah, it was good for him to be there and also have his grandparents there too. Yeah, if you want to.
So this is not one of my girls. It's actually Madeline's girl, Nancy, which gave her a hard time. But we just got a picture together. But I had, during teen week, I had six campers. I had three sisters, the Albright sisters, and then three others. But it was a very difficult week for me. Just emotionally, physically, just spiritually, it was all just came raining down on me. I was following one of my girls, Bethany. She really loved to test my buttons, and she would just poke them, and just, it was hard. But I didn't know she was struggling much. She really didn't tell me much until, I think, the third day when everybody went back to their cabins after Bible time and just really talked about what we've been learning. And they were able to open up a lot. And she comes from a really bad background. Her family is very broken. She has a lot of people that have committed suicide. And she actually, that night, she gave up a rock that was sharpened. She actually cut herself. She had a razor and a vape. And I knew I would follow her to the bathroom when they would say, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. And she said that she would vape in the bathroom when she went to the bathroom. So I knew that would happen because I just got that sense of just there's something going on. So I just wait for her. And then I just wanted her to give it up at her time, which she did. But she was so shaken. She thought I was going to be so mad at her. And I was like, no, it's okay. Okay, I'm so glad you gave it up. And you're understanding what we're talking about. And that was your decision to give it up. So I was, and then I had another camper that thought she was a Christian. But she, the way that she presented herself really wasn't, she didn't show herself that she actually was a Christian. And then Mrs. Buckingham and me were able to sit down with her. Asked her some questions, which we came to the point that she wasn't a Christian. So that's another camper to pray for. Her name is Chastity.
But she was so close, and then they left. But it was just a lot of multiple things that I had to deal with. Six campers with all these different motions.
Yeah,
and
there was usually more girls than guys. And so most guy cabins would get five, but a lot of girl cabins would get six.
Yeah.
I think not this week, but the week previous, I was co-counseling for Kai Frenari. And yeah, I think it was that week, or maybe it was the last. But it was really eye-opening and just like a good example of what they're going through, because I would do the cabin relief time for Kai, you know, and just it was raining so much, a lot of times I'd just sit in the cabin with them and talk for that hour and a half. And getting to know them, like, he had five. Three out of five didn't have fathers that were living. One of them didn't have a father who was around. He didn't know if he was alive or not. And then one of them had a father and mother at his home, but he had, like, an uncle had committed suicide, like, 2 days before he came to camp. And so it was just, and that, like, they weren't emotional necessarily about it, because that's just so, like, normal. Up there.
And I think there's another guy that the dad, the day that he left to camp, his dad got arrested.
Yeah.
So he was very much
always
dishes. Yeah. There's always plenty of dishes to do. Especially for teen week, we had like 47 staff alone, plus like 40 to 43-ish campers. And so there's like over 80 people there. So doing dishes.
I think that week is over 100. I think there are like 50-ish campers.
Okay. So yeah, close to 100 people that you're doing dishes for after every meal.
That's Leah. I think she might have been because I had a lot of Kazemba Cop girls, just like Curtis and Trevor had. But she was so sweet. She was one of my six campers. And she was the sweetest out of them. Such a sweetheart.
Yeah,
they're actually, Leah and Anthony are actually cousins.
Yeah, but so he's moved around a lot. Anthony has, I think he's living in Russian Mission now. But similar, you know, just brokenness, smokes weed all the time, talking, you know, about very naughty things. So he. But he really enjoyed it, and he really wanted me to come to Russian Mission afterwards, which unfortunately we weren't able to. But yeah, this was his last time because he's 18 now. So
he could do this thing where just somehow with his cheeks he could sound exactly like a Canadian goose. Mm-hmm. It was really funny. But he'd do it all the time, so it got a little annoying after a while. But he could sound exactly like a Canadian goose.
Well, I don't know if it was Canadian goose, but whatever the one they hunt, because he was a really good shot, too.
Yeah,
so that's,
yeah.
He was very experienced in bushcraft. The runway all muddy.
Yeah.
Surprised we were able to take off.
All that rain and so forth, how does that affect your takeoffs and landings and so forth?
It made them rougher. For the most part, the mud wasn't that big of an issue for planes as the fog was. So it was mainly when it was raining, you can't really see, and so they wouldn't take off if they couldn't like see so far up. So this Friday, you know, they were all supposed to leave, and all of them left. All the campers, or all the guy campers at least, were out Friday, except for three of mine. And so those are the three right there, William, Tyson, and Brenton. Brenton and William, the two on the ends, they're brothers. And then Tyson in the middle is interesting for him because it was his first time in camp, but he was 17. And so just most people who are old, most older campers have been there a lot.
I think he's 15.
Tyson?
I thought he was 17, but he told me he was 15. So he's like,
I'm pretty sure he's 17.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. But
we'll
so these three, just for the fun of it, Curtis and me decided to sleep in King Salmon with them, you know, just to give them something, you know, something new, something exciting. They've been talking about wanting to sleep in King Salmon. So there's four girl cabins, then right below them four guy cabins, but then a little walkaways towards where the creek is by the staff houses. They have King Salmon, which is like a really big cabin that they used to use a long time ago for like overflow Or at one point, they'd put a bunch of the bad campers in there with like the most experienced counselors or things. But that was a long time ago, and it was mostly used for storage. But we decided to revive King Salmon as a cabin and sleep in there for the night. So we kind of formed a King Salmon cabin, and that was our table there. So that was a lot of fun. They enjoyed that a lot. That morning, it was funny because it was like I woke up at King Salmon. It was like there was sun. You know, Saturday, so Monday through Friday was like just solid rain. And then Saturday morning, waking up, it was like bright. You know, so I walked outside to take a picture. I look over, and there's like three other counselors like by their cabins, all just taking pictures of the sky because it was like the first time they had seen sun in forever. And so that was really it. It's interesting how the weather can really change your mood, you know, when you're going through 5 days of just rut, you know, mud and rain, and then waking up to like just full sunshine. It made Saturday a lot of fun. And then Sunday, a few of us decided to go, because you can hike up the mountain to the cross, and then about just a 5-minute hike from that, there's these cool rock formations. And so Sunday morning before church, me, Curtis, Alyssa, and a few other counselors, we went up to the rock formation in the morning, met up with some people, some counselors who had done, stayed up there the night before actually doing camping. Then we just did like a little devotion and some things. But that was a really fun hike. And on the way back, the sky did this really cool thing. We're all taking pictures of it. But it was like there's this wind tunnel or something like between the clouds. But it moved like sideways like this, and so it was like the clouds were just rolling. It was really weird to see, but also really cool. And that's the view from the top of the mountain at the cross. You can see Keiko down below. This was Sunday. That night, we decided to kick all the girls out of the kitchen, and all us guys took over and cooked the meal. It was really stressful, but also a lot of fun, because we tried to make it like a full-service restaurant, so we had like waiters, you know, and menus that we came up with, you know, and all this stuff. So it was a lot of fun. But
Alyssa played violin.
Yeah, Alyssa played violin for our live music. Curtis was our head chef. I tried to manage the restaurant as best I could with very under-experienced servers.
It took a while, but
yeah, some people were waiting a long time on their food, but
it makes you appreciate restaurants in general.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good. You know, we made it. And then that weekend.
This was your last full weekend.
Yes, this was my last full weekend. That night after that, me, Curtis, and Josh kind of snuck out of camp to.
We didn't sneak out of camp.
Well, we got permission. We got permission. Yeah, we got permission. But we went on the famous beaver hunt. Because beavers there are like. Jonathan Penn's the camp owner. That's like his nemesis is beavers. He absolutely hates beavers because they, you know, they pollute the water. But then also there's the trail at the end of the runway goes 5 miles. That's where I saw the bears that one time. Trail goes 5 miles down to the Yukon River, and there's pretty much rivers. There's a river, Keiko Creek, that kind of follows the trail most of the way down on the side of it. And so beavers will build up dams, and then the water level on the creek will rise and then flood over onto the trail. And so if you don't keep the beaver population down, then the trail will just get flooded and destroyed. And so he really liked us going out and taking care of some of the beavers.
We got four.
They're considered pests in Alaska, actually. And so you have to technically be an Alaskan resident to hunt them, but you can hunt them like year-round. You don't have to get any special permit or anything. So this was...
Oh, yeah, you should show
the beaver. This is one of the beaver skins. This was from a yearling, so it was probably born that May. That May. So we got three that day, which was, it was a lot of fun, beaver hunting. But so this was the one that I skinned. I didn't shoot it because, you know, it would be illegal. But I skinned it. We tanned it as best we could with, you know, just basic things. And then Josh let me take it home, so that's a lot of fun.
Very soft fur. It probably would be really good for
a bag and filled with salt.
No, that was the tail.
Yeah, the tails you can use for knife sheaths.
Yeah, we're going to try and make something out of the beaver tail. But
this was the last weekend, so we were trying to get all of our pictures done.
Anani, Madeline, Grace, Anna, myself, and Vicky for Victoria.
And that's a pretty good staff picture of all the staff on the last week. We're all wearing our Keiko hoodies. All the black ones are the new design for this year. I'm wearing one of the older designs, so that's why it's off a little bit. But.
So weeks, if you want to do. Yeah. So it wasn't the last week of camp, but it was the last weekend that Tommy and Mitchell were there because they flew out on Friday with the campers this week. So I was the only one counseling. You guys were either co-counseling or staff that week. So those are the counselors, so the guys on the left, of course, and then the girls. So Kai, who had been counseling with Mitchell earlier, this was another junior high, so this was the last junior high camp and the last week of camp. We were trying to get all of our pictures and everything in before everybody started leaving, because the next weekend would be when all the staff flies out. Finally, this week, the last week, it was sunny for most of the week, which was really, really nice. We needed it because we were very tired. Like Tommy was saying, it's kind of amazing how the sun can just really lift your spirits, especially after so much rain. We were all taking pictures of how sunny it was outside. That's carpet ball. You've probably seen from previous years. It's a fun game that they like to do where kind of like pool, where you have balls on one side and on the other side, and you try and knock them into the little container there on that side, and whoever knocks them in first wins. So that's an invaluable game for when they're first arriving and for when they're leaving, to kind of just fill some time and get to know them. So that's my cabin. I had six campers for most of the times that I was counseling, except for teen week. So that was Avery on the left, Zaret, Melvin, that's who Alyssa was talking about, his dad got arrested the day that he came to camp. And actually for all these guys, kind of like what Tommy was saying with his cabin previously, a lot of them did not have a father figure. Carter, who's on to my direct right on this side, he said he thought his dad was in California somewhere, but he doesn't know. That was Shane on the far right from Stony River. I had counseled him earlier. Oh, and Lucas in the middle with the gray kind of sweater. He actually came from a really good family, which was nice. He had his mom and dad. So it's interesting, the variety that you get. Some of them come from really good homes, and then some of them come from really broken homes. So this was a really good cabin for me, with the exception of Zaret. They were all pretty, they would want to be around me, which was really nice, instead of running off into the blue. So it's good to kind of have them, except for Zaret, who would run off into the blue. But the other five were really, really good. So this was, and that was good for me because I needed an easy cabin this week. Everybody was so tired after teen week, and just, after 6 weeks, you definitely get very exhausted. So it was good to have a nice cabin this time.
You can see all the clothes drying.
Yep, that was a good. Finally, the sun could help dry out some of the wet clothes from the previous week. That was, I think, right after dinner on some of those games, right before we were playing some games. It's Avery shooting. That was our cat. That's inside Willow. So I counseled, every time I counseled, I was in Willow, which is, I've counseled in Yukon before, I've counseled in Fireweed one time, but Willow is definitely the one that's kind of my cabin. That's the one I've counseled in the most. So there's most of my guys, and then a few other kids over there. Line up. I think that may have been the last day. No, this was the last day. So that was Alyssa was Craft Barn for this week. Latrell, just quickly, I know we're kind of running out of time, but Latrell was one of the foster kids from Mr. Erickson, and I had counseled him in 2017, or co-counseled with him in 2017. He was my camper, and then now he came back as staff with Mr. Erickson, still living with him as a foster kid, but that was kind of interesting to see someone from that long ago come back. He's
grown a lot. He still has his ups and downs, but it was definitely an encouragement to see someone that you counseled from a long time ago come back and be changed like that. So that's all six of them, again, lined up, my campers. Is this? Oh, yeah, that's the this is the David and Goliath skit for my cabin that we did. So.
I am Goliath of Draft, and I have to destroy Israel. You take one man to fight me. If he wins, we will be your slaves. But if I win, you will be our slaves. Who will fight me?
Lord, I am not afraid of you.
You dare face me, you shooty little shrimp. You stinker, I'll beat you. I'm gonna destroy you. No!
Hard when you have a camp, like a cabin that doesn't want to act. So I normally tried to do most of the talking myself, and then they could just kind of be supportive roles. Some of them are really good actors and like to perform. None of my campers are like that this year. So that was a quick, easy skit that we could pull together, and they didn't have to do any talking, and they all had a lot of fun. So because it was not raining, we finally got to do a bonfire on the runway. For the last Thursday, so that was Thursday night. It got very warm. It was a very hot fire, which is good, but it was hard to roast marshmallows on. There's Zaret, my more interesting camper, but by the end, he really didn't want to go, and so it's interesting. Sometimes the harder campers are the ones that really need to be there the most and want to be there the most. So I think that was his plane leaving. This was another week where we had, so Tommy and Mitchell left before the last campers left. So we had campers on Saturday as well. So this is Friday, just a few hours before Tommy and Mitchell were supposed to leave. They opened up the rappelling tower just to kind of give everyone an activity. That was fun. I'd never done that before. That's me in the Stokes basket. So that's we probably wouldn't ever need it on a tower that small. But it's if somebody, you know, breaks their neck or something and you need to get them down the tower safely and securely, then you'd use the Stokes basket. So that was a good little fun thing to do. And then that is Tommy and Mitchell giving away their last sunscreen and bug spray to whoever needed it right before they flew out to Bethel that night. So that was their last few minutes there. And that was our last picture together. So that's it for Keiko. As you know, Tommy and Mitchell came back earlier, so we have just a few more slides about what we did those last few days. So Tommy and Mitchell were gone at this point, so it's just Alyssa and me in Keiko. We left on Tuesday in the morning. So from Friday when Tommy and Mitchell left to Tuesday, it was just cleaning up camp, which it takes a lot of work. Taking down trampoline. We're basically winterizing everything because there's not going to be people to help get everything ready for winter. So everything has to be packed up and ready for that. That was the Bowers leaving. And, of course, throughout the entire time, there were staff taking off and getting out of there. So we were some of the last to leave on Tuesday morning. We went up the mountain. We picked some tundra. I actually have some tundra for tundra tea. You can make tea out of it, and it's pretty good. So we harvested our last little bit, and that was our last trip up the mountain for Alyssa and I. That's Job's plane, but I think that's the camp director. That must have been when they were leaving. So we left after Mr. Buckingham left. They went to Bethel and then to Napakia, kind of like we did by boat, and then we flew with them to Palmer, so we stayed in their house at Palmer for 2 days. So we didn't leave with them from Keiko, but we met up at Bethel to go to Anchorage, and then Anchorage to Palmer is about an hour drive. So that is Alyssa and I taking off on our last flight on the little plane. That was all their luggage. They had a ton of luggage because they had been there through family camp and they had a lot of stuff to bring. So it was quite the adventure, more than we would probably bring on. And well, I don't know about that, but it was very reminiscent of how Comptons would travel. So it was kind of normal for us. They have the same type of van that we used to have. So that was, again, very similar. So we took two trips from the airport, but that was us driving from Anchorage to Palmer. And that's their house. They've added additions and stuff on, but they've lived there for quite a while. It's kind of a valley between the mountains, the Matanuska, Matsu something, river valley. So it's actually pretty fertile land. There's a lot of farming and stuff that goes on. The Alaska State Fair is in Palmer. This really gorgeous stuff. We went to Hatcher Pass, which was in one of those mountains on the side of the valley, and that's Alyssa trying to recreate the Sound of Music, The Hills Are Alive, because it was very, it reminded us, I mean, we've never been to Switzerland, but it almost, I feel like that would be what Switzerland was like with all those just gorgeous mountains. And it was fun to finally get out and see kind of the more scenic sites of Alaska, because Keiko, I mean, compared to this, it's just like little molehills of, you know, there's not a lot there. Lots of swamp, a few hills around Keiko, but yeah, compared to this, it was this was really, really beautiful. So that was Hatcher Pass. That's still Hatcher Pass. The water there was super clear, and you could just drink right from it, from the mountain streams. So that was on the way back down. So we got to meet all the Buckingham relations, and they have, I think I've said this previously, they adopted the Hale family. So they have tons and tons of family all around there. So the oldest biological Buckingham, who is the pastor of their church that they go to now, he bought a fire truck for recreational use. So he's going to turn it into a camper so that they can go off-road camping. So that was us. That was kind of fun to see that. And then we had a big family get together, so all the Buckingham, or a lot of the Buckingham friends and family and church people all came together at their house. So that was good. We got to see all the Keiko people again, but then also meet their families and meet a lot of the Buckingham family. So that's that. That's driving around in the valley. So again, very fertile area of Alaska. That's their back porch view. Just the mountains all around was just really, really gorgeous. And then the last day, we would leave the next morning. We hiked to what was called the Butte. It's like a little hill in the middle of the valley that's high enough so that you can see like the entire valley from. So that was, that's pointing towards Palmer. I think that's Pioneer Peak. It's one of the bigger ones, one of the bigger mountains around there. So that was a lot of fun. And that was our last time seeing a lot of the Keiko people there. And then the night before, Alyssa and I got a little bit more repelling. We went to the Showermans, who is another people who went to Keiko, and we went to their house to visit. So they set up a repelling tower on a tree. So this was 54 feet, and the Keiko Tower is 30 feet high, so it was a little bit higher than the Keiko Tower, which was fun. And we both did it, and we both survived. So that was really neat. Yeah, they like repelling a lot. And then we got to do some pellet gun shooting while we were there, too. And that was the morning we left the Buckingham's house. Mrs. Buckingham made that and sent that to us. That was really nice. And that's Joshua, the camp director's son. So that, and that is the glacier in there in the valley that kind of feeds one of the rivers that comes into the Matanuska Valley. So, yeah, that's pretty much our presentation, unless you guys have anything else to add.
Yes, questions. Brochure that it's $150 a week to go, and I know you've said previously that a lot of the kids are pretty strapped as far as living in really poor conditions. So you said this year there were, I don't know, three campers that were all the same family. How are the families affording the fees?
So that's actually a very good question. It's a very delicate question that you have to address when you're going out and getting people to sign up. So basically, no one's going to get turned away unless there is like an overflow of people. So if you pay, then you're coming to camp. If you don't pay, you're going to be put on a waiting list, which basically means you'll come, but it's kind of incentive to get them to pay, because actually in Teen Week that did kind of play into it, because we had so many teens wanting to come. So definitely the people who paid were on that list, you know, definitely coming list, and then there was the waiting list. But yeah, you kind of have to, because we don't want people just not paying who have the money to pay, because then camp's not going to run. But yeah, it's, they kind of brief you on that before you go into the villages. It's kind of a delicate subject, but yeah, generally they don't really turn people away if they can't pay. So, yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For this year specifically, yeah, it was about half and half, I'd say. So I had a lot that I remembered, but there were also a lot that I was expecting to come who didn't come, and with COVID, it was a lot. There were some villages at the last week that, like Hooper Bay, who I've had a lot of kids from, had a lot of COVID cases, so we didn't take any campers from Hooper Bay. But in general, a lot of them just didn't know that camp was happening. So there was a lot of PR that we had. We did the Facebook Lives. I'm not sure if you guys saw some of those. But that was just kind of to get the word out that CAECO is happening. You know, come to CAECO. And us going out to the villages was a big part of that, too. And by the end, we had, so the first week was a little bit, you know, not very many kids. And then by the end of the week, we were having full camp weeks. So, but yeah, it was about 50-50. Any other questions? Yes?
I think all heard the gospel at some point during the camp. What do you all think are the biggest distractions as they go back home? What's going to keep them from thinking about it? What's going to choke out those seeds?
Just kind of there's the situations that they're in, the broken families. I mean, there's a lot of kind of like, you know, Luke, and a lot, there's a lot of people from good families who, you know, their circle is very supportive. And then there's the people, you know, who have, you know, people committing suicide all the time. Just, it's very depressing in general to be in those situations. So that can easily discourage people. And then, actually, that's phones. We kind of dealt with a little bit over the course of the week. And by the last 2 weeks, we had actually taken the phones. We didn't let them have them. And then we gave them back to them when we left. And that actually helped a lot. Just kind of not be distracted a lot. So, yeah, definitely there's just a ton of stuff to be praying for, and COVID especially has really closed them off a lot, so they were very excited to be able to come to camp to socialize and get to see us, but also, yeah, definitely to, you know, hear the word of God
and
being
also
preached.
Another thing that can hinder them from really reading the Bible and everything, just the way that they go back to their old habit of most of them, a lot of them drink and smoke tobacco, just all of that bad stuff. I was co-counseling for one of the girls that had a 10-year-old who chewed tobacco, and she was chewing some for it. And so it's just, when you start it, they just can't stop. And so it's just another thing that they go back to. It's just their going back to the village, and then seeing all of their other friends doing it, and then they get influenced to doing it, so it's just all of that stuff.
One of the main issues is, in the villages, almost nobody has a job. Like, they all pretty much live off of welfare and just the government. And so besides, like, fishing and hunting, like, boredom creates, you know, there's nothing else to do but just drink and do drugs, you know, half the time, and that's...
It's a vicious cycle, but you can see the impact that, you know, different villages starting to, like Mountain Village, we got a lot of kids from that were actually really, really good, very interested in spiritual things. So it's interesting to kind of see the spiritual map of the place, of which villages are kind of really in that darkness and which ones have more good influence. Sometimes there's missionaries that will go to different villages and be an influence there, or elders who have become Christian. So, yeah. It's a lot different than here. A lot different spiritually. Definitely very eye-opening to go out, especially to go into the villages to see that stuff for yourself. So, any other questions? I think that's all we have. So, if you wanna, you know, we ran probably a little bit over time as usual, but.
Thank you very much. You know, just as you concluded, Curtis, and each of you, and just reminded us of what the kids live in, what their lifestyle is like, it just magnifies all the more the gospel getting into individuals, into families, into homes. There's no change. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have, in your great grace and mercy, have exposed us to the gospel, that many of us have embraced it, that we've come to faith in you. Some of us who've grown up in Christian families, and I speak for myself, simply took it for granted. And the reality of what it's like outside of Christ and cultures that are outside of Christ is just all the more glaring to us. And we pray for each of these that we've visually seen, again, Lord, that you would be pleased to bless this area with the light of the gospel, that hearts would open, and that you would do the miracle that only you can do, Father, in hearts and minds and lives. And for Christ's sake, we pray. Thank you for this now. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys, very much.